Hey, Aaron.
Hey.
Welcome to the party, pal. That's right. It's Shift and Steer, and today's show is brought to you by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Shift and Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt D'Andrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Man, everything is going crazy right now. I mean, when I say everything, I mean NFTs are selling for crazy money. Volcanoes are exploding. The stock market is lagging. It's dropping. Let's see what else. Bitcoin is up, down, all around. I tried to buy it on the drop. You know, I went, oh, I'm buying because it went down. And damn it, the next morning, it went down even farther. So,
oh, no.
So if you ever want to be an investor in Bitcoin or stocks or something, just wait for me to say that I'm buying, and it's sure to go down.
That's gambling, man.
It went down $2,000 after I bought it.
That's like being a professional gambler, isn't it, Brad?
It'll come back. It'll come back, man.
Like all my investment buddies call it gambling. They're like, nah.
Oh, Bitcoin?
It's not investment. He said it's more like gambling.
Bitcoin,
when you're down, you double down.
I invest money that I can throw out the window. So
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And if it hits and I make a ton of money, great. It's like my safe moon.
What do you do? You got to make so much money because they take half. It's like no matter what.
That's everything.
You only get half.
That's everything. No, when I sold my company, the government took a bunch. So anyways, hey, today's show is brought to you by
nothing.
It's brought to you by Bond Speed Wheels because we're waiting for the new ads to come in for the new year. So right now it's brought to you by Bond Speed Wheels, Bravago, and Aaron Hagar. Damn it. But when I say things are going nuts, Aaron,
you mean like walnuts and almonds?
Yeah.
Because you're hungry? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I am. I'm really hungry. I could use some steak.
I know. I'd crave a hamburger, too. They were low on iron.
Now you made me lost. See, we had the show rolling. Now I've lost it. I'm hungry now. I'm thinking of food. But no, we were talking on our last episode. On our last episode, we talked about Scottsdale Auction Week coming up, where I'm headed next. And Maddie has already headed over there to promote his Bravago. And so the thing is that, wow, I can't wait to see what happens, because did you see Meekum in Kissimmee, Florida?
You know, I don't really follow the auctions, man, especially – I just don't, because it's too tempting. There's always stuff I want. You should see my list on Bring a Trailer and now Cars and Bids. I looked at Doug's thing. So, dude, but Meekum, those ones, that's too, I can't afford that stuff.
Dude, what do you mean? Bring a Trailer right up there with them now.
I know.
Kissimmee, Florida, they, you know, they did it 2 weeks ago as of what you're listening to now. I remember I was sitting at home. Hadn't planned on turning it on. Didn't even know it was on. My wife turned it on. I went, oh, hey, wow. And right as we turned it on, because of the 3-hour time difference, they were getting into the big cars in the afternoon, you know? And that it was just car after car, a million or a million plus.
Oh, man.
And I was going, they are knocking it out of the park here. I mean, they did 67 Shelby GT350R.
Wow. And
this was like the kind of like the test car, you know, their prototype. And it kept going up and up and up. They hammered it at $3.75 million.
Wow.
And man, I was like, oh, my God. Then they roll up the Hirohata Merc. And now you're familiar with that car. We've talked about it on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the car that was built and then rebuilt and sat around for years here in Southern California. It was a Barris built. The Barris brothers built it. And they call it the most famous custom of its era because pretty much every chopped Merc from on was, you know, a duplicate of that car. Everybody wanted to build that car. And it went for $2.15 million. It had been owned by the same family since the day it was built back in the 50s.
And we've talked about that. That stuff is, we're starting to see it again, you know, their little resurgence. Oh, that's cool, man. Right on.
So another car that was interesting in, and I'll tell you, Aaron, what they kept comparing it to is they said, for the younger buyers, the millennial buyers, this is the equivalent of what we always looked at as the Steve McQueen Bullet Mustang, right?
Oh, right.
Any idea what that car might have been from a film that they would compare it to that?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad Boys, the film with Will Smith.
Right.
The black 911 Turbo that he drove in the film, the 94 911 Turbo. If you remember the film, for those of you who haven't seen it,
the Widowmaker.
Two detectives in Florida, and they
Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, right?
Yes, and Martin Lawrence. And it was kind of like a, hey, let's make Miami Vice, but make it a little funny and make it a little, and so
he was
like a trust fund guy, and he was a cop, but he had this brand new 911 Turbo. You know, it's the one everybody wants. Whale tail, black.
Right.
And so anyways, that's the car that everybody lusted over. And it went for good money. I mean, we know that 911 turbos and stuff are up. But this one went for $1.43 million.
Jeez.
And it went to a young Asian guy. They went over, put the camera in his face. And they said, hey, you just bought that. And he goes, yep. and
so excited.
He said, let me tell you, I just flipped two NFTs and paid. I've got more money than I paid for that.
Oh,
and I said, he goes, they were Brad Fanshaw original NFTs. I bought them from Brad for $100 each and flipped them for $100,000. So anyways, so that part of the story is not true. But it does bring me to a point that I'll get to right after we continue talking. So their total sales set a record, Aaron. Now, you know, Barrett Jackson, $125 million during a week-long sale in Scottsdale. You know that RM will sell in 3 days in Scottsdale, maybe, you know, $80 million. Gooding, you know.
Right, right.
What do you think Meekum did in their sale?
Oh, God. We just talked all those numbers, too.
Right.
I don't know.
Come on, throw it out.
I don't pay attention.
Throw it out there. I just gave you some numbers as a baseline. And they set a record, so let's put it that way.
30 mil? No.
They set a record.
300 mil.
Jeez. No. So they set the largest auction sales for, you know, live auctions of collectible cars like that, $217 million.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that is the first 200 million plus auction ever. And they had 90% sell through. you know, because the difference between Meekum and the difference between like Bear Jackson and some of the other ones, Bear Jackson does very, very few reserves, you know.
So
a lot of people can reserve their cars. So they were getting the reserves off and getting the money for them. 2,954 vehicles, almost 3,000 vehicles.
Man, see, that's so much to manage. It's I don't know.
Well, it's like we were talking about last week. They had all that infrastructure. They had all those cars transported down there. And we're bringing a trailer. Nothing ever leaves somebody's house until it's sold. You know, it's weird. But
perfect model.
So what this brings me around to is I'm so excited to go to Scottsdale, because if the money's going like that, what's going to happen in Scottsdale? I can't wait to
Scottsdale's
see.
The big show. That's the big
show. So are we working? Is everything dynamically changing? Or are we going to see it? I think we're going to see some big sales in Scottsdale. And
you know what? No, Brad, I think this is the last hurrah before the bubble breaks.
God, Mr. Doom and Gloom. And this brings me around to what I wanted to talk to you about, Aaron, which is, if you guys listened to the last show, then you know that I promised to drop the very first Shift and Steer NFT. Yeah. I know a lot of you guys, you've messaged me and reached out.
Have you read the comments?
What the hell's an NFT? the one about painting?
Fleece was forget.
I'm going to look it up right now because he put a funny comment.
Thinner. Never forget thinner.
Yeah, never forget thinner. He goes, that's what I know it is. But no, the thing is that NFTs, they're not just a photo or art or whatever. NFTs are becoming everything. They're becoming music. They're becoming videos.
Yeah.
They're becoming a way to trade all kinds of things in commerce. So we're trying to be
APEG.
Yeah. So we're trying to be on the leading edge of this. And so what we did is we took a screenshot from the last episode of the three of us, dropped in a logo, and I created it. I minted it as a non-fungible token, an NFT. And what we're saying is that, you know, normally when I put them up on my site, I limit them to one piece or something like that for rarity. But I wanted a lot of our listeners to be able to be part of this. So what I did is I made it 25. That's all that you can ever get of that. And the 25 will get this image. It's limited, but I put the price down to nothing practically. It's $31. And so you can buy them and then you're supporting the show. Cause what we're going to do is when we sell all 25 out, then we're going to split the money three ways after fees. You know, because we got to pay the NFT gods their fee. It's just like the government, man. They want them. And
unregulated.
But no, each of us get a couple $100, and it's a fun thing, and you own an original piece of art. And you will notice that I did put NFT number one. So I thought we could get creative and maybe come up with some other NFT artwork. Like I was thinking about doing a, you know, maybe a stylized Shift and Steer logo, and we sell that and only do it one of one and let you guys bid on it, and whoever gets the highest bid gets it. And there's other things we can do, guys, so keep, you know, checking it out, because one of the things that's really cool about NFTs is that I've had a lot of people say, yeah, I buy it and then what, it's just floating around on my computer hard drive. Well, there is a way that we can add a downloadable function, or even let's say we do a stylized Shift and Steer logo. It can be unlockable once the purchase is completed. So I'm going to put this in car guy terms, Aaron. I want to buy
the keys.
I want to buy a Topolino from you. Okay. I want to buy one of your BMWs, your Isettas. And you say, yeah, we all come to terms. And you say, okay, cool. And I say, okay, I'm going to wire you the money. Well, you don't sign the title over and give it to me until I wire you the money.
And it clears.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this is. An NFT we would say, you buy our NFT when the money's transferred, then we're going to give you a code or a downloadable website where you can go and download the original artwork and print it out. Or we can say, now that you've paid it for it, what's your address? And we're going to mail you a framed, you know, 14 by 11 or whatever, you know, so that you actually get something tangible, but you still own the non-fungible piece of art also.
Because our generation wants the tangible one.
Right, right. Well, you know, what's funny is it's
hard to wrap your head around, you know.
There's companies right now that are popping up that are, that they call them photo frames or NFT frames.
Right.
They're really a flat screen TV that has a receptor in them. And so that
that's
it's
cool.
Bluetooth over. And if you own multiple pieces of Bluetooth, or I mean, of NFTs, that you can have them up there or you can have them rotating, you know, and stuff like that. But what you see a lot of people is I actually have some of my customers right now that have already done it. They buy one of these, you know, yacht club monkey art or flaming gorillas or, you know, some of the ones that are real popular.
Right. Right.
And they'll use them instead of their photo online. That's their emoji or whatever.
Like
online.
Yours. Like,
yes. Mine is an 8-bit NFT that I've never offered as an NFT. But if you look at 8-bit, it's like the old video games. And
right,
those
right.
are huge.
Minecraft.
In the NFT. So I created an 8-bit
I don't get it, man.
Rendering of myself. I'm a blockhead.
I don't get it.
But the thing is that I am working on some automotive art. And you and I have talked about doing some stuff together. Because there is going to be a time when guys are going to start realizing it's going to become more mainstream and it's going to be like click of a button buy and all that. Because right now you've got to have a Coinbase wallet. So that means you got to transfer money and buy Ethereum. And
right.
And people are like, what the hell? You know, but let me tell you guys, if you don't want to go through all that, we could probably work something out. We could probably do something where you could PayPal us money. We'll buy it for you through our Coinbase and then make sure you get the NFT. But we're going to do some really cool automotive stuff. And I think a really cool way of doing this is giving guys like you own the NFT. And if you buy it at this price, you also get this, because what you got to do is you got to figure in, well, you got framing costs, you got printing costs, you have shipping costs. So, you know, it's got to be a high enough price that it factors all that in, gives the artist something and pays for all those extra costs, you know, because now you're getting two things. So, but if you look at Barrett Jackson, now this one even boggles my mind, is they have sold like, I think, 8 NFTs of...
Really?
Yeah, of cars that were their top sellers at Las Vegas and their top sellers at Houston.
Wow.
So like the 4 top sellers at Vegas, 4 top sellers at Houston. Okay. I'm being critical. I'm not in Barrett Jackson management, so I'm not bagging on anybody. But when I look at that, I say, if I'm buying that, don't I want like a really cool shot of that car? Not just
sure.
a shot of it sitting on the block with all the people standing around it and
right.
the auctioneers. I don't know why that makes an interesting, but they
an advertisement. It's an advertisement.
No, but I'm saying from the people that paid for them.
Right.
Because
right, right.
they sold these, Aaron, from between, don't hold me to this because I'm going off the top of my head. I believe on a low, like $3,000 or $4,000, and on a high $13,000.
Wow.
So for a photograph of the car being hammered down on the block.
So
and
basically people in that case are buying the rights to a JPEG.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but where NFTs are, you know, when you look at them for value,
right. Right. It's an investment thing.
It's rarity.
Yeah.
It's uniqueness, but it is also, it's also about the artist. You know, is it a celebrity or somebody that you're into? And then finally, the final thing that you have to consider is what people are doing is the investors are buying up and they're speculating. So let's say you do a piece of art and you sell it and you get $2,000 for it. And he's like, wow, man, that's awesome. And this has happened every day since I've been following this. There was a young lady who was an artist. She sold a photograph and she got $4,000 for it. And she was like, oh my God, I got $4,000 selling my first NFT. A week later, it sold for $400,000.
Wow.
And it had gone through 10 transactions. So it's just like the art world. The artist sells it. Then someone who knows how to market it resells it, resells it, resells it. Now, the difference between the art market that we're used to and the NFT market is that we can put a royalty on that, anywhere from nothing to 50%. I usually put 10% on, which people seem to be really amenable to. And every time someone resells that later on, I get 10% of the sales. The artist gets 10. So when that girl's, like I said, there were 10 transactions. Every time it sold to somebody else, she made 10%. When it made that $400,000 sale, she got $40,000. So she made probably close to $100,000 on that piece of art by the time it got
to her, man.
And so that's incredible. There's a, you know, there's a guy that was doing an on-screen selfie. Like if we just went click every day of his life for the last, I forget, I think it was like 5 years or something.
Wow.
And he had a thing up, you know, it was like buy a selfie. And he was selling for $2 a piece. And he did one of those things where it just went, you know, every one of them and made it into an NFT. Got $1 million for it.
Oh my God.
Got $1 million for it.
Wow. It's like, you never know what's going to hit. You know, you think, ooh, this is my best work. It'll do great. Nope.
No, it's a whole different market. However, as I said, I think as people find out more and more about it and it's easier to purchase, that's why I'm working on trying to get my action sports, my automotive and artwork and photography out there and why you and I are talking, because the thing is that people can buy now while it's low and sit on it. And then later on, it'll go high. And it's not that hard to create a Coinbase wallet. Anyone can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. I mean, it's basically you go in, you go to Coinbase app on your phone, you create an account, and then you just transfer in with your credit card, however much money, or from your bank account. And Coinbase is totally safe, guys. I mean, that's not one of these fly-by-night ones. And once you have that money transferred in, when you want to buy an NFT, it asks you, connect your wallet. And one of the most important things, I know we're really getting into the weeds about NFTs, and I'll save your ears from that, but it gives you, when you set up your account, a 12-word password. And they're random words. Like it might be bunker, snow cone, you know, storage, overland, but it's 12 words. That 12 words is your password. If you lose it, that's when you lose all your money because there's no recovery on it. So like they say, print a copy of it, put it somewhere safe. Then also, like what I did is I made a screenshot of it and I saved it to a remote hard drive.
And you sold it as an NFT?
Yeah. And then I posted it on my Instagram so I can always go back to it. But you know, because they're trying to be like hyper secure and but once you have that, you've got money on your wallet, you go in, you buy an NFT, you bid on it, and boom, it's yours. And
Well, the whole process is very interesting. And I know, like you said, it's out in the weeds for a lot of our listeners, but this is the new reality of what we're living in. And this very well may be a common currency. I mean, Barrett Jackson in a few years might take, you know, crypto.
I'm actually surprised they're not already, Aaron.
Yeah.
I mean,
seriously. Yeah, because there's big crypto people that have big money and they
want to be able to go. They just want to be able to go like this with their phone and go, okay, yeah. I want to complete my transaction. Boom. There I'm you up. Go. And yeah. it's that fast. You don't have to wait for a wire transfer or anything. It's yeah. literally seconds. It's boom.
Instant,
you know?
Instant. Well, it's very interesting and I'm very curious to see where it goes. And, you know, and I'm looking into creating a meta gallery and stuff like that. I'm waiting for Apple to release theirs because I'm an Apple user, so I want to see where that goes. But it is the future. I'd had a long conversation with Dad about this when I saw him last weekend, and man, he is so resistant. You know, he's 74. I get it. He's like, it's going to ruin the world. It's going to end the world. It's you know, he had a pretty harsh opinion about it. I tried to soften that blow a little bit and say, yeah, but it's interesting. I can't relate to it either, but it's not meant for us. You know, it's meant for a younger generation. We're just kind of still, we're just still adaptable to it, you know, but hey. He's not. He's not adaptable.
Do you remember the last thing that was going to ruin the world and the music industry was MP3s?
Right? MP3s.
And now MP3s. I mean, whoever thought that in our lifetime that, you know, oh, I just go on my Amazon or on my Spotify or whatever, and boom, whatever music I want to listen to, and it's free.
Right. I know.
How's anybody going to make any money doing that? Well, they do, you know.
Well, so. Speaking of that, so I just subscribed to Tidal because Tidal is musician owned, and I guess a higher percentage goes to the artists, and you can buy or subscribe to different levels of music quality. So I subscribe to the middle one, which is hi-fi, which is like, don't quote me, it's like 1400 megabits or whatever. I mean, it's as opposed to like 60. It's a huge difference. And man, I plug that thing in, you know, streaming, you get a little bit, but on Bluetooth, the Bluetooth compresses it too, I guess. It you don't get the full bandwidth of what it is. So I plug it in, man, a huge difference. Like I play the regular one. It's like playing a linear flatline, equalizer mix, you know, with no sub. I plug in with Tidal and it's like a fully tuned sound system with a sub. I mean, it's that significantly different. And that's the mid one. The high one's like 9,600. I think I'm saying this right in megabits. I don't know. I'm still off on the terminology, but anyway, big difference. So
when I go on a big road trip, I can't listen to that compressed music either. I take my turntable with me and you know,
Hey, you know, look at the Czech Republic's Tatra, the one that's in it's in a movie somewhere. Anyway, it's got a record player in it.
Well, in the early 60s, there was that optional Under-45 player that you could get, you know. It was, and for those of you who don't know, a 45 is a small. Anyways.
All right, moving on.
Hey, we are moving on, and we're moving on to something I would not be opposed to owning, which they just announced the 2023 Cadillac Escalade B series.
I gotta look.
They're gonna put apparently the 6.2 liter. It's 2023. It's coming out in
2023.
Spring of 22, but they're calling it the 23. And they're going to put the 6.2 liter supercharged Blackwing V8, apparently, and call it the V series with the big brakes. Everything's blacked out. It has four exhaust tips coming out the back. Now, they have only teased us with some photos some things, but it's, you know what?
Boy, talk about a brick.
I like the Escalade.
Talk about a brick with a cool front end.
I like the Escalade. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, I've always been a Yukon and a Suburban guy, and the Escalade is just a good-looking vehicle to me.
Cadillac's cool, man.
Cadillac has sent me those V-Series cars to drive, to talk about on the air, and I hope they send me one of these because I'm digging those cars. I like the Cadillacs.
Look at the dashes. It's like a one ginormous screen all the way into this past the center line.
Wait till a diode goes out on that one.
Yeah. I've got some dead pixels in my.
But no, I'm excited to drive one. I'm excited to see one in person because the V series in that, they've never offered a V series in their Escalade. And I can't wait to see it and hear more about it. And yeah, no good doubt. News, Aaron.
Well, good news.
Yes.
There's always good news.
No, I'm going to give you some good news.
Yeah, I'm listening. Let's hear some good news.
Okay, but first, I'm going to get back to NFTs for a second and say, if there's anyone out there listening that is like deep, deep, deep into this, I mean on the programming side or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, hit us up because I have some ideas that I want to explore but don't technically know how to do it. For instance, I want to bring Bond Speed Wheels to the metaverse, you know, because guys are building houses. They say that there is going to be Bloomberg, the financial institution, said that in 2022, they estimate $1 trillion, that's T trillion, in metaverse real estate transactions.
Jeez.
Well, guys are going to have cars to drive around those cities, and they're going to yeah. have some Bond Speed Wheels. But I was also thinking, you know, Aaron and I got this artwork we want to do, and, you know, a NFT garage would be really cool.
Yeah.
So where we could have some of this. But the good news is that GM has finally put their foot down. Ford did it a week ago on something we've been talking about. Ford finally sent out to their dealers and said, hey, guys, on these Lightnings where you've taken reserves and then want to go back, no more. Well, GM has done the same because they were having the problem with the 2023 Z06 Corvettes, that dealers were doing things like taking, you know, inflated markups to reserve them. Or they were saying, yeah, I'll sell it to you, but you have to, you know, pay this huge surcharge. Then the final thing was that they were also, so that they didn't get in trouble, they would come to like a broker. Okay, let's, you know, this guy is a broker. He goes to all the big auctions, blah, blah, blah. And they would say, hey, we'll sell you all ours for this much. Then you pay, kind of like a kickback, you know? And then so the president of North America came out and said, that's it. We don't want to see this happening anymore. And you could risk losing your allotment of Z06 Corvettes if you do.
Good. Good. And,
we've got to, you know, because
it's war profiteering.
It's just one of those things where I think the worst, if somebody pays above sticker, that's up to them. And that's, you know, that's their stupidity. I mean, you know, cause it's like, come on. But if somebody wants to be the first on the block to have one, they want to pay it, they can pay it. The one that bothered me was the one that I pay $1,000 down to get a Bronco or whatever. And then I go back when they start coming out and they go, you know what? I know you were like the third one in, but now it's $5,000 to keep that space. That's bullshit. You can't do that.
Yeah. That is so not cool, man.
We're not going to thank that, man. No. So that's good. I'm glad to see. Let's see if they just keep, staying on top of it. So,
well, I'll tell you, you know, speaking of that Z06, man, those things, I mean, that is one exotic American.
They're bad mofos. They are.
That is a good looking car.
I know.
I mean, kitted out a little bit, optioned out, you know, it's really good. And the performance is there, you know, reliability. I don't know. They've had a couple things, but not too bad considering
new platform.
Brand new mid-engine, all brand new. Like everything's new. It's very impressive. If I had to kind of go with anything new, in the supercar world, I don't know, man, that's a top contender for me. And then you can sit there and go, and I bought American.
Oh my gosh. You talk about supercars. A buddy of mine sent me the other day, and the other day was yesterday.
But when this airs, it'll be.
He texted me a video, and I got to show you this thing. Bugatti Chiron on the Autobahn. Have you seen this?
Here. I'll look it up.
GoPro POV doing 417 kilometers per hour. Now, for those of you who aren't on the metro.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I am not a fan of Bugatti, but I got to say the Chiron in certain colors looks pretty wicked. But I don't like those headlights. They look dated to me.
Well, but, I mean, you know, it's crazy, you know, but
yeah.
But so this dude, as I was saying, for those of you who don't know the metric system, 417 kilometers per hour is equal to approximately 259 miles an hour. And now this is on a public roadway. I know it's the Autobahn, but when you see this dude ripping along and he comes up on a car, it's like this. It's like, here comes a car. Here comes a car. Here comes. It's like almost as you see it, it's past you. And I think
and those are doing 100 and something.
Yeah. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, the Autobahn does go through the Black Forest of Germany. Right. And there are animals in the Black Forest. And at 260 miles an hour, you know, running across a squirrel would not be, you know, advisable.
Go right through the car, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's just nutso crazy. Wow. And but it's so cool to watch it and just how fast it accelerates and gets to that speed. And, you know, it's. I think those cars are capable like 325 or 315 or something. I mean, I've never gone anywhere near that fast, you know?
No. Wait, you haven't ridden with Larry.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Ron.
Hey, before we wrap it up, do you got anything, Aaron? You got anything you want to talk about? Anything going on?
No. Nothing I should talk about. It's not a car problem, but there's just too much stuff out there I like.
Dude, that's a car problem.
I don't have any room. Well, the car problem would be buying it. I ain't buying it, but
I kicked the habit, man. I'm done. I'm not buying any more cars this week.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I'm so close because my bevel box is on the way. It should have been delivered, I think, today to New York, and then it'll be shipped hopefully Monday to me. So I'll have my bevel box, my Morgan, in the next week or two. I need to go to LA next week and pick up my IUCAB top for my Defender, which the parts have been ordered. So hopefully that'll be back on the road soon. But I'm jonesing. It's like my two favorite vehicles are down, and my third favorite vehicle is packed into my shop midway because it's icy in winter out, and that's my old Mini Cooper, which only has about half an inch of clearance between the tire and the wheel well, so you cannot drive it on anything less than a perfect road. when we were vacated from our home during the fires, I took it to Marin, and I was trying to drive it. I drove it up to Dad's house up in the mountain in Marin, and I mean, I was scraping and bottoming out on every corner just from the lean angle of the corner. The car ran like a mother. It was so fast, I mentioned down there at sea level, that little race motor. But the suspension, it's like you can't drive that thing. As soon as you start like pushing corners, that tire is going to start rubbing in those fenders because I don't drive it hard up here. I just kind of putt around town because it's a, you know, tourist town.
You can only putt down.
And I was kind of like racing up this little hill, and I'm going, oh man, this is bad. So it's totally undrivable. So yeah, I'm real frustrated. So I keep moving forward. Like, you know, these are out. So I need something new, which is totally the wrong mindset. But I'm like, okay, if I get one more car, what if I was just buy one more? And then to make it worse, about a year ago, there was a car online, and it was in a spec that I have always wanted. I mean, it's a Ferrari FF, And you know, it's money that I don't have. It's
$130.
Yes, it's back. Yeah, it's it's a Vario, right? It's the same color as Dad's Law Ferrari, but it's got that really strange tan interior, like these books in the background here. It's like kind of an orange, almost an orange. It's like the camel color, you know. It's a little on the orangey side, yeah. but it's the Daytona interior. So it's got that beautiful
with
the bars and the black contrast stitching.
I love the FF. I love the loose on the FF.
Me too. It was sold, and I was like, good, it's gone. It's out of my life. It's not an option. I don't have to think, how many things can I sell to own it? And it just reappeared this week. And I'm
more
like,
money?
Oh. No, I think the same money. And I'm like, first of all, I'm like, well, what happened to the sale? Second of all, I'm like, oh, man. So now.
Is it still under warranty?
What can I sell?
Is it still under warranty?
No.
Are you sure?
Huh?
Are you sure?
No, it's not under warranty. It's a 2013 or something. So.
Well, I know, but they had that. That's why they're so expensive, because they had that 7-year warranty and it covers everything.
Yeah,
a friend at Ferrari once told me, he goes, with that car, you are buying a, you're buying a warranty, and it happens to be wrapped around a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Because everything's covered. I mean, the only thing that's not covered are the tires. I mean, even the brake pads.
Yeah.
And so he said, that's why they hold their value, because for 7 years, you know, it's, but I mean, I love those cars. And having driven one, it's called, right?
I don't think that's it. A CPO, isn't that what that's called?
I don't think it has that.
There was another one that popped up that just had new axles and all these new things done with around the same miles. So I was looking at his list going, I wonder, because it's 20,000 more. And I'm wondering, it's like, is that stuff it needs around those miles? Yeah. You know, it's an all-wheel drive system. And it's the first all-wheel drive system.
That's what
for
you
Ferrari.
Always got to know with those Ferraris.
And yeah, it's an unusual one. I forget how it works, but it doesn't work like a normal all-wheel drive system. It's kind of unique, so you have to wonder.
Yes, because it compensates everything so that you can't overdrive it. You know, if you go in to it, it'll put more power to one wheel than the other wheel. It's not just constant drive. Each wheel is doing its
own thing, which is all-wheel drive. But if we should follow up on this, because Matt, I think, pointed it out what it was before, but it has a different kind of the way the system works. It's very different from anything else, and it's unique to Ferrari, which we were all going, we wonder how that's...
And that's what I'm talking about, because when the FF originally came out, it came out with that first, and they actually
and then the
told
Lusso.
Me, try and drive... No, the FF before that.
Right.
And they said, try and overdrive it. And I'm like, what? He goes, push it into the curve. And as you push it in, the computer goes, whoa, we're coming into the we're getting too much G-force. And so what it does is that outer wheel, it puts more power to it to drive it back into the curve.
Right. It's kind of like a torque vectoring.
It's amazing how it works. And it's an awesome car. I had that one to drive for a while, and I loved it, man. I could go to Home Depot and pick up pool chlorine, and I could, you know, I remember that's where I was putting that pool chlorine in the back. And one of our listeners came walking up, and he goes, "Are you Brad Fitch?" I go, "Yeah, I am." And he goes, "Only you'd be getting pool chlorine with a FF Ferrari."
Like, hey, I wiped down the container because there's residual dust. It could bleach the interior.
Hey, I went to the factory and picked up wheels too.
Well, this is not a press car, because if I'm correct, those don't exist anymore for Ferrari's very, very, they don't like them going out in the public. It's a beautiful car. And that, I got to say, if I could buy any Ferrari that would be a real real life car, that would be it. I'd love a Lusso, but they're 250 something. But this, in the Ferrari world, you could buy a 458. There's some other stuff you could buy for that money, but I'd take that all day long, man. And I would drive that.
They are truly a Ferrari you could drive every day and not have a problem with it.
And they're a front engine 12.
I know they are. And Okay.
Great
I
bond.
Forgot to tell everybody about the event that I went to. I told you before the show started and almost forgot to tell the show and all of our listeners.
That's why we can't talk about it before the show.
I know. So,
Brad, what event did you just go to?
I know. Well, here's what it really comes down to is that since Matt's not here this week, we could not have a show that didn't talk about Mustangs.
Right.
So last night,
in honor of Matt,
last night I was invited to a great event at the Seegerstrom Shelby Event Center in Irvine. And the event was to benefit the National Pediatric Cancer Foundation, and, which is awesome. And they had a great, great event there. It was at this event center that I've never been to, and it hasn't been there a real long time. But oh my gosh, I've had the pleasure of going to so many great car collections. This one is amazing. And they do have posted hours. So if you're a Shelby or a Mustang fan, you want to put this on your bucket list. 40,000 square feet, and it is over the top. When you walk in, they've got parking for like 120 cars outside. So I know they're going to be doing car shows and, you know, cruise-ins and stuff like that. But when you walk in, there's a like about an 8,000 square foot grand hall that is two stories tall. And one of the coolest things is in the corner, they have, excuse me, four Shelby Mustangs, super rare, stacked like on girder beams.
And oh, wow.
It is just so neat. The top one is the only tuxedo black Shelby of that year ever built. Everything in there is rare. And, wow. You know, the walls are covered with, the great neon signs and all that. And then in the back room, you walk through and there is another huge hall, and it's filled with, I didn't even count how many, everything from 289, to 427 AC Cobras, and even a Daytona Coupe. And then he has a wall that looks like a Hertz rental car place. And in front of it, one of every Hertz rental car, clear back to the 60s up to the modern day.
Rentals. Oh, that must be cool. That must look really cool.
It looks really
black
cool.
And gold.
And he's got one of every color too. So we all think of the Hertz black and gold.
Black and gold.
But there was also a white one and a red one, and they're a lot rarer. And so he has those. Then he has some drag cars in there that were Carroll Shelby's drag car prototypes and stuff. And then you go upstairs. Yes, there's an upstairs.
And is it a mezzanine upstairs or is it a real upstairs?
No, this is like a grand staircase that goes up. And go to my Bradley_Fanshawe on Instagram, and you'll see some photos that I posted. And upstairs, it is all the different eras of Shelby's. So he's got one room that's all like kind of 70s era, and the walls have, like these stripes on them. And he's got all the 70s era Shelby's in there. And in one room, he has a supercharged Thunderbird, So upstairs, it's not all Shelby. There is some other stuff. And that's where you get into the later model Mustangs. And he has all of the rare, the big motored cars, the 429, Mustangs and the Boss Mustangs, and then late model Mustangs built by Shelby today. And he has the rare of the rare there and a lot of memorabilia.
Wow.
It's just amazing. It's just
that's so cool.
Crazy over the top. Crazy over the
and
top.
Where was Matt? Matt was driving.
Matt he was driving
out.
To Phoenix for the,
he
for the, he's got to work. He's got a Schlepp Bravago at a Barrett Jackson opening night event. So good
he's
for him.
He's doing good. I'm so proud of him. I mean, it is kind of competition for the beach bar rum cocktails, but I'm proud of Matt for putting that project together all these years. I wanted to invest, but I knew Dad would have my ass.
You did what?
But, man.
So anyways, I've got a link on my site. There are also photos on our Shift and Stare site. So go check them out. Great event. Kathy yeah. Ireland was there.
Brad, did I ever tell you my story with Kathy?
No, I didn't ever hear that.
Kathy, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I was an obnoxious teenager. So my friend Chad Grulock and I, he's a producer now. We were at the Trancas Market in Malibu, and we were in my little 58 Alfa Romeo, which was, you know, ivory with red interior. And we're two teenagers. This is probably 1989, you know, and we were inside probably getting, you know, stuff to make guacamole or something. And she's there, and she keeps eyeing us. Right. And Brad, it's funny because Chad was all about supermodels. He had them on his wall. I had like,
well, I mean, you think Kathy Ireland, how many swimsuit, you know, yeah. She was the cover of Sports Illustrated. Yeah. More than anybody, you know,
and it was not my thing, right? I wasn't into that world.
You weren't into girls, right?
Oh, I was into girls, but I knew some of the model scene, and I didn't yeah. care for the people involved, and I just kind of threw that over, you know, I threw that blanket over the whole industry, and you know, teenage stuff. Anyway, so we go back to the car. We're sitting in the car, fired up. We're just about to pull out. And she walks up to the car, to the front of the car, runs her fingers along the edge of the car and says, "Cute car." And if you remember, Kathy back in the day had that little tiny voice, which she doesn't have anymore. She's worked that out, but right. She had this little tiny, like not normal voice. And I was just like, "Oh yeah, thanks." And I backed out and drove off, and Chad's like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" I'm like, "Nah, man, just nah."
Just nah.
Anyway, apologies. Didn't mean to be rude. Just being a stupid teenager. But no offense taken. But it's a good story.
Well, now today she has taken that stardom as a swimsuit model and become a very successful businesswoman.
Business person, yeah.
Yeah, close to a $1 billion empire. And
yeah.
Pretty
good girl.
Crazy. I also ran into Matt Stone there, and you know, Matt, one of the guys who have been around the automotive world for so long, and yeah. You know, a great guy. And it was funny because we normally, you know, he was in Motor Trend and everything, and but for so long we would run into each other at Monterey or whatever, and it'd be one of those, you know, the people that you see, you're like, "Hey man, how you been? Great, boy, I gotta go here," and he's going there and I'm going here. And it was the first time we ever sat down and actually talked for more than, and he said to me, he goes, "Because we actually got multiple sentences shared." And I said, "I know." So that was cool. I had a great time talking to him.
It's nice when you can actually spend time with the people that you bump into in other places.
But a big thanks to Ted and Ray Segerstrom for the invite, and I can't wait to see how that, you know, continues on, because wow, it is, any Shelby or Mustang person or Ford enthusiast has to add the Segerstrom, you know, Shelby Event Center. That's
it. Is it open to the public, or is it just,
it is on their website. It has limited hours, and then they have it for private events and like that.
There you go.
If you're a Shelby enthusiast, you can have your wedding there. So,
especially if you're marrying Shelby.
Yeah, there you go. You know,
money. So. I'm telling you, I know a place.
They'll have your name everywhere.
She's like, "Are there horses?" He's like, "Kind of."
So anyways, hey, we got to wrap it up because tomorrow, which is Saturday for us, I am first going to head to the Moon Eyes event. It is the annual Moon Eyes.
You're
Moon
going
Eyes
to the moon?
Show.
Wait, what's that? Going to the moon? You're going to the moon?
I'm going to the moon. Safe Moons. Man, everybody buy Safe Moon. It's going up. No, Safe Moon would probably be doing better if they did a team, you know, teamed up with Moon Eyes. And, you know, but Safe Moon Eyes, the No, Moon Eye's having their event out at Irwindale Drag Strip, and I'm going to go out there and check it out. At, you know, because they couldn't have it because of this thing that's been going on called COVID.
Right? Yeah, yeah, this thing.
And then I'm going to turn around and head over to Barrett Jackson for the week, and you know, got to get everything done at the house, get the house sitter and the dog sitter and the mom. I got to put mom, in the sitter. Kennel and. oh, wait, dog in the kennel and the mom said, I don't know. Something. Right.
Easy but, now, Brad, easy. That's the mom you're talking about.
She's got a good sense of humor.
So, she does. I love your mom. She's awesome. She's got a great sense of humor. She says, you take the couch right underneath that damn grandfather clock that goes off every 15 minutes. I'll never forget that Barrett Jackson trip.
It goes off every half an hour. Okay.
Well, for me, it seems like every 15 minutes. Let me tell you what, all night. Literally, folks, it was at my shoulder. Literally, all night long.
This is actually a turn of the century wind-up clock.
Yeah,
beautiful. That is all hand-painted and everything, and it was right above his head. And first you hear the pendulum going, tick, tick.
Yeah, yeah. Which can put you to sleep.
Yeah.
Totally.
But then every half hour it goes, bong, and it resonates because it's one of those wound chimes and it just resonates for like a minute. Then at the top of the hour, midnight,
it the plays. Full
12, man, 12 bongs.
You get now, 12 mind bong you, right before it would go off, at night, you know, when everything else is silent, you can hear all the mechanics,
the gears
line up and go glung.
The thing is that as long as I can remember, since I was a kid, my mother, it has two winds on there. You have to put a key in the face of the clock and wind one for the time and wind the other for the chime. My mom never missed. I mean, never. I can remember up till the day she moved out of her house, every morning she'd walk over and then get the other key and wind that thing. And, you know, so that's going to be your job, Aaron, when I bring it to my house. You'll be the official watch winder.
Well, I'll do the 8-hour drive daily just to do it for you.
Yes. Good. Yeah. Hey, everybody, make sure you go on iTunes. Give us a thumbs up. 5 of them, I hope, stars, and a positive comment. That's how Aaron and I continue to make the big bucks, because we can buy donuts and coffee with what we make here. And I know that's hard to believe, but the other thing is shiftandsteer.com is where you can go and find every show we've ever done, some great photo galleries, not a lot of updated photo galleries or videos lately because we've been stuck at home like you have.
Yeah. But we haven't been doing nothing.
Yeah. And if you are around when you're hearing this and you're at Barrett Jackson, you know, track me down, track Motorator down, because he's going to be over there. And Aaron, where can they find you online?
I'm on the internet as Aaron Hagar. Oh, hey, I got to give cartoons a plug, and if you pick up
that was so cool,
37 of cartoons, which should be out quite soon, out in the on the floor, I'm in that, so
that's cool.
That's pretty cool. 3-page spread, really generous.
And I want to see that. I loved cartoons is one of my favorite, and
right,
Crass and Bernie and cartoons and all that stuff.
They've been around a long time. Some of our favorite artists have been run through cartoons, like Mad Magazine or Heavy Metal. You know, it's just full of great art and artists and fun stuff.
Huh? Was Crass and Bernie part of cartoons? Were they?
I believe
they are, aren't they?
Yeah.
I have a cartoon, a Crass and Bernie.
I lost touch with cartoons for a long time. So
I have a Crass and Bernie framed in my garage that I've had since,
oh, wow,
maybe 70, I don't know, 78, 79, something like that.
Oh, that's cool, Brad.
And I had put it in a typewriter, and I put alias Brad and Charlotte, because what the cartoon was, the theme of the cartoon was one of their one-pagers, and it was this guy, and he's with his girlfriend, and they're in the jacked-up car with the blower and stuff, and they're driving down the street, and she says, "Do you want to get married someday?" And he goes, "Oh, yeah, someday." And she goes, "Well, like, how long?" And the next frame, they show him, like, thinking, and she goes, "Well, how long?" And he goes, well, I've got a few things to do first. And she says, well, like what? And he goes, well, finish a couple of my cars. And she goes, well, then we can get married. And he goes, well, and then I wanted to, you know, have some money in the bank so that I could build some more cars. And then, and then she goes, but then we can get married. And he goes, after I build my 10 car garage. And she goes, then we can get married. And he goes, yeah, I think so. You know, and
so oh, that's funny. Like
the average
that's
car stupid. Guy, you know, yeah, well, I got to build this.
And, right. Well, it's just like like that meme that says, you know, like her dream, and it shows the big, beautiful house, you know, fully landscaped. It shows his dream, and it's a little tiny house with a giant garage.
Yeah.
with a big wraparound driveway.
I know. So we all have the affliction. And I'm going to find out how mine goes next week at Bear Jackson when I see y'all in Scottsdale. Aaron, thank you.
And they can find you at Bradley _Fanch.
Oh, that's right. They can find me at Bradley _Fanshaw on Instagram. Brad Fanshaw everywhere else. But check out my Instagram because that's where good I stuff. Post almost everything. Check it out. And also the stories are great there and everything. So let's see, because this spring I got a motorcycle to get running. I've got more than one, but I'm going to try and get my 750 KZ up and going. And I got to get started on that Chevelle. But first I got to get my garage done, you know, my shop done with my new lev racks and my mezzanine.
Oh, I'm so excited about lev rack. I think I found a very, very cheap forklift that I'm going to trade or maybe buy up for like a grand. And I'm going to need help with that fork with the lev rack. So I'm just going to buy a forklift. I've been wanting one anyway to lift up Isettas.
There you go.
But I got to make some room. So I got a bunch of shit for sale.
All right, everybody. Friend. Thanks for listening to Shift and Steer. Thanks for your support. And go check out the NFTs. Seriously. If you go cool to Rarible.com, RARIBLE.com, and then search under creators, Bon Brad. If you don't want to do all that, it's real simple. Go to Shift and Steer on Instagram, hit the link up in our bio, and it'll take you directly there. So check those two places out. And we also put a link up on Twitter. So check it out.
Cool stuff.
Buy one. Be the first. Whoever is the first to actually complete a transaction, Aaron will give you 5,000 washers. And you've got to pay the shipping, though. So
small ones.
Yeah. Little bitty ones. So anyway.
132s.
All right, everybody. Thanks. Thanks a bunch, man. See you, pal.
Cheers.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
A word from our friends at Geico. Maybe you own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of work. But you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home already. Just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.